As they're heading out, I do want to welcome you and thank you for being here with us this morning on a sweltering hot morning. But it's a good morning. It's good to see familiar faces, and it's good to see ones we haven't seen in a while. Michelle, thanks for coming this morning. It's good to see you right in your normal spot. And if you don't know Michelle, you'll hear her soon, and it's wonderful. You know, instead of this morning of starting out with some humorous personal anecdote, I thought we would do a little bit of story time. Is that okay? We'll do a little bit of story time. Chris, is it okay if I steal your seat? Because I feel like if you do story time, you need to be seated. And, you know, this is the story we're going to read may be a familiar one to you. And if you've heard this before, you got to know that there's probably some different versions out there, but I had to choose one that was time appropriate. So the story that we're going to read this morning, you've probably heard it before. It's called The Three Little Pigs. Anybody heard this? Okay, anybody not heard this? You're in for a good one. Okay, it's The Three Little Pigs. Once upon a time, there were three little pigs. One pig built a house of straw, while the second built his house with sticks. They built their houses very quickly, and then they sang and they danced all day. The third little pig, he worked hard all day and built his house with bricks. The big bad wolf saw the two little pigs while they danced and played and thought, what juicy, tender meals they will make. He chased the two pigs, and they ran and they hid in their houses. The big bad wolf went off to the first house, and he did what? He huffed and puffed, and he blew that house down in minutes. The frightened little pig ran to the second pig's house, the house that was made of sticks. And the big bad wolf now came to his house, and he huffed and puffed and blew the house down. Now the two little pigs were terrified, and they ran to the third pig's house that was made of bricks. The big bad wolf tried to huff and puff and blow that house down, but he could not. He kept trying for hours, but the house was very strong, and the little pigs were safe inside. So he tried to enter through the chimney, but the third pig boiled a pot of hot water and kept it below the chimney, and the wolf fell in and died. We don't ever read that part to the kids. That's the awesome part of this story. The two little pigs now felt sorry for having been so lazy. They too built their houses with bricks, and they lived happily ever after. It's a good story, isn't it? It's so simple, and you know, there's some great lessons that we can pull out of this story. And while they're all good lessons, you know, we teach our kids that, you know, don't be lazy. We teach our kids, you know, that there's so many things in life to invest into and to, you know, work hard. Those are all good lessons. But as I take a step back from this story, you know, for me personally, it's been a rough season. And I felt just overwhelmed. And when I look at this story, it reminds me that, you know, whether you build your house of sticks or hay, straw, brick, whatever material you choose to lose, a big theme in this story is the big bad wolf's always blowing, right? That wind is always coming in our houses, no matter what we build out of. These storms will come. And we know this in our life, don't we? I mean, we know that it's not when, or it's not if the wind blows, it's really when. And when the wind blows, how strong will it be and how forceful will it be on us? We have to recognize that no matter what we do in life, the wolf and his gusty breaths will be present. This to me is the biggest lesson. Life is hard. And there are seasons in our life that feel like there's a constant wind. Sometimes a cool breeze, but other times it's like a hurricane that's tearing at our houses. Does anybody else ever feel like that besides me? Okay, you can talk back to me here. Yes, okay, I hear one yes. So someone agrees with me. Thank you. You feel this breath. That's great. I like I said, this season has been a tough one where I have felt a stronger wind than normal. And yesterday I had the opportunity to sit with many of our elders over breakfast, which we do every month, to kind of talk about what's going on with church, where is God moving, and how can we be praying, and what themes are out there that we see God moving in. And you know what was funny? The theme we kind of picked up is the wind is blowing hard right now. It's blowing hard on a personal level for all of our elders. It's blowing hard on a leadership level for many people in our church. It's blowing hard into marriages. It's blowing hard at our church. And the wind is coming, and it just feels like it's heavy. And so it makes me step back and ask the question, what am I building my house with? What am I building my house with? And will this be a material that stands these winds that come at it? I ask these questions about my life. I ask these questions about our church as well. What's the brick in this story? What's the brick that I can kind of hang on to and say, what matters most in my life, I need to build my house and build my life on this brick. What's my brick? Personally, what's my brick for our church? What's the most important thing? And as we continue in our This is Crossbridge series, I want to tackle the second of our core values. A value that I believe is our brick. It's our foundation. It's the very thing that we will be building on and will never, ever change as a core value of Crossbridge Community Church. A value that I believe is the foundation for everything, for me personally and for us. My brick, our brick, is the Bible. This is the only thing that I've got that's not going to change. This is the only thing that I've got that will stand the test of time. It has for thousands of years. Yeah, it gets hated on. Yeah, we'll talk about that stuff. It doesn't have the best reputation all the time. But I know for me personally, the powerful truth, the promises, and every word that is in here, I'm going to tell you up front, I believe 100% is true. I'm not ashamed of that. I will stand up and say that to anybody. And when I get feedback and, wow, you're dumb. Okay, have you read it? You know, let's talk about it. This is our brick. This is our foundation. This is who we are. This is Crossbridge. And my favorite part about that is, you know what? I don't have to be ashamed of what it says. I don't have to be ashamed of what the Bible says. And, you know, I know that we're built on a culture, and we live in a culture that's completely bent on proving this book wrong and completely bent on showing that this is a book filled with hate. Now, I'll just be candid, and you probably are going to say, wow, he's been pretty forceful, this message. Can I tell you that many Christians use this as a weapon, and they use this to beat the junk out of people and tell them how dumb they are, how wrong they are, and everything about them that's off. That's not the intent of this brick. This isn't a brick that we're supposed to take and be like, hey, cool, do you want to feel how this is upside the head? No one wants that. I don't want that. And when the Bible is used that way against me, I kind of stop and I'm like, that's not what this is for. This is for building, not for throwing. That's what this is for. And I've got enough issues in my own house that I'm trying to build. It's not my job to start throwing bricks at everybody else. I need those bricks. I need to apply them to my own life. So today what I'd like to do is unpack a little bit of why at Crossbridge that our core value is we will be unashamedly biblical. This is who we will be, is unashamedly biblical. So to unpack it, I'd like to look at three different passages, and we're going to look at them from three different translations. For if you're not familiar with the Bible is originally written in three languages. It's written in Greek, Hebrew, and Aramaic. And what we've done is we've taken the best manuscripts that we have from those copies, and they translate them into English, unless anybody here is fluent in Hebrew, Aramaic, or Greek. Anybody? All right, cool, me neither. So we're building our reliability off of translations. Everything is built on translations, okay? There's different translations of the Bible that you need to know. They read differently. None of them are better than others. Some of them are just more, what's the best way to put it? They're closer to the original intent of the Greek or the Hebrew, okay? And others, they're a little more loosely translated. So if you have a Bible with you, you're probably going to see what version it is written on the side here. And if you ever see little letters next to verses when we put them up on the screen, that just simply is telling you what version that we're reading from. Most of the time when we put verses on the screen, they're going to be from the New International Version. What's the initials for that one? NIV. You guys got this. I have been reading personally much more through the New Living Translation. What are the initials? NLT, okay? You're catching it. And then the last passage we're going to read is from another translation, a paraphrase called The Message. What's the abbreviation? Yeah, I don't know. I just know it says Message. You know, and it's much more loosely translated, and it takes, instead of going word by word, it takes phrases, and it translates the phrases into ways that we understand. So I've been reading much more in the NLT, and whenever I read the Psalms, I've been reading them in The Message because they just connect, and they speak words that I know and I feel, and they're really messy, and I like that. So if you have a physical Bible with you, we're going to be in Romans to start out. We're going to read out of the NIV, and Romans is going to be more towards the right-hand side of your Bible, about three-quarters of the way through. When you get to Acts, you'll go to Romans, and we're going to be in chapter 1. If you don't have a paper Bible, you can find it on your phone. I'm going to highly encourage you to download the Bible app from YouVersion, and just so you know, I'll be challenging you to pick a plan at the end of service, any plan you want. So if you're like, huh? You might as well just download it now. It'll make it easier, and you won't feel guilty later. Like, oh, I already have that app, okay? So as you're turning into Romans, let me just set it up for you a little bit. Romans is a great letter that's been written by Paul. And Paul, he really wants to get to see this church in Rome. It's one of the most influential churches in all the world, and he can't get there yet. He's been trying and trying, and as he's trying to get there, he's been stopped. And so what he decides to do is say, I'm going to send you a letter with the most important things that you need to know. I'm going to send this to you, and if you've ever read Romans, it's a very, very theological book to begin with, and then it gets amazingly practical at the end. And for just so that you know, we'll be going into a series on Romans called When in Rome over the summer, and we'll do this as a church. So, and if you're one of the ladies who meets on Thursday nights and at the Red Hen till like 2 a.m., I know you're all excited about that. I love that. That group, you've been going through Romans, so you're like the experts. I'll be seeking you out to preach this summer. And it's an amazingly, amazingly great book. And so when he's writing to this book, he's just going to introduce in the beginning his theme for this entire letter. Let's look at Romans 1, verse 16, and this will be in the NIV. It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, and then to the Gentile." Paul starts out this letter with such a clear statement, and I quickly want to just pull two things from it. And the first thing he says is, "I am not ashamed of the gospel." This is so important to me because we all know shame, right? We all know what that is. And, shame is when you hide from something that you don't want to be associated with. It's not always a big thing. And it usually feels, the best way to describe shame, you're in junior high, you're all excited, you're about to get dropped off at school by your parents. You want Vanilla Ice or like Chumbawamba playing or something. And they've got that horrible music, Led Zeppelin, and you're thinking in junior high, I cannot pull up to school with this playing. I need my music, right? And we all know what it's like to be dropped off or want to be dropped off 100 feet from where all our friends are. And now we look back and we're like, Chumbawamba? You know, what was I? You know, I should have been ashamed. But we know what that feels like, right? To want to disassociate with something because we don't want to be with it. That's shame. We're ashamed. And we feel that. We know what it means to be ashamed, to run and hide. But to be unashamed, this one's a little tougher. But I think we still understand this. When I moved down to South Jersey about 4 years ago from North Jersey, I had no idea what kind of sports culture I was moving into. I had no idea because in North Jersey, there's so many professional teams, no one cares. You know, you root for the Yankees or you root for the Mets, we just make fun of each other and we're happy. Down here, you know, Giants, Jets, same thing. down here, your options are, I don't want to say limited, but your options leave you with a choice. Your football team, for the most part, is the Eagles. And when I had no idea that in July, when it's 100 degrees out, that football jerseys were still very popular. They just are. And in July, somehow I see a cold weather sport like hockey jerseys. I see Flyer jerseys all over the place. I'm like, it's July. Why? Because I've learned in South Jersey that there's an unashamed passion for sports and your teams. I mean, it is crazy how passionate it is, to where even this morning I was bantering back and forth with Lou, who's, you know, he's helping out with Pro Presenter this morning, and we were laughing about something about the Yankees, and he's like, yeah, and he shows me his Eagles watch. Why? Because he's unashamed. This is where his team is. And every person who's an Eagles fan that I know of, you're talking about how you're polishing up that Lombardi trophy. Far, you know, you're already polishing it. You've given up picks and made them horribly, and you're all excited because you think you're going to win. You really think you're going to win. And I have no right as a Giants fan to say anything, believe me. I'm giving that to you. But we know what it means to be unashamed of something. When all we want to do is talk about it, all we want to do is share about that value of our life. And this is exactly where Paul is. And he says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. And the gospel here, does anybody know what that means? What is the gospel? The good news. Right back there. Excellent job. It's, you know, Ryan hit it right on the head. It's the good news. What's the good news? Jesus. Yeah, this is the time you can shout out the Sunday school answer. You're in great shape. What's the good news? Oh my goodness. Okay, you ready? I'm gonna ask you a question. I'm gonna look for a response. You ready? What's the good news? Okay, Jesus is the good news. And it's not just that Jesus is good news. The good news is that the Son of God has come to this earth. He lived a perfect life. He was murdered, hung on a cross, and died. The good news is that he's not dead. The good news is that he has risen from the dead. The good news is that he defeated death and he paid a penalty for sin that you and I have that we could not pay. The good news is that Jesus extends that grace to you and to me. And when Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, he's saying, I am not ashamed. I will boldly talk about, I will boldly proclaim, I will not separate myself from the fact that Jesus' love for me is so big and so amazing that I don't deserve it, and I'm going to tell everybody about it. I am not ashamed of the gospel. Why? Because it's the power of God. Can I tell you that there is power in the name of Jesus? Yeah, we could sing songs like that. But there is power in this. There is power in the fact that we know. There is power in the fact that we know our salvation does not rely on us. Because we can live an entirely different life. Because Jesus has paid the penalty for us. There is power, power in this story. You can get excited about the Eagles. I can get excited about the Yankees. But the reality is there's no power behind either of those things. There's no power. I mean, the Phillies, who are projected to be one of the worst teams, are 5 games ahead of the Yankees right now. So that's not saying much. There's no power in either of these teams. But Paul is saying that he is unashamed of this story because the power of God resides in it. It's the power that changes lives. It's the power that has changed my life. It's the power that's changed my family. And I know some of you here would say the same exact thing. There is power in this good news for everyone who believes. It's not for everyone who's coerced into believing that Jesus is the Son of God, or everyone who's stiff-armed into this. You know, when people yell at you about Jesus, they're like, you need to, and you're like, whoa, you need to breathe, bud. I don't want to go to the boardwalk and get yelled at again. That doesn't help me. But what has helped me is the people who have come alongside me and showed me and walked with me. I have seen the power of God because I have chosen this for my life. And many of you would say the same thing. We start here because there's an unashamed aspect that Paul gives. But Paul also writes another letter. He actually writes a bunch of letters. The whole New Testament is made up of a bunch of letters from Paul to his different churches. And in 2 Timothy, if you could turn there with me, it'll be more towards the right-hand side. So if you're in Romans, you're going to keep going to 2 Timothy. He writes a letter to a young man that he's been mentoring for a long time. This young man named Timothy has taken over a church that Paul really, really loves. And he, since he's so young, he's feeling super insecure about leading this church. So Paul wrote him one letter to encourage him, and it was solid. And he's like, yay, I can do this. But he's got to write a second one because pastoring a church is very difficult for Timothy. It's tough. And he needs to be reminded of some truth into how to stand as a young man who leads a church. And the reminder that he gives to him from 2 Timothy 3:16 is this, and I'll be reading from the New Living Translation, so you can follow it here. And just so you know that translations do change a little bit, we were looking, the translation that's up here is from my Bible, which is 20 years old that I've been reading from. If you're going to read in your app, it's going to read a little differently, okay? So it says this, all Scripture is inspired by God and useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It straightens us out and teaches us to do what is right. It is God's way of preparing us in every way, fully equipping for every good thing that God wants us to do. Paul gives another very clear statement. And there's two things in here that I think are important because he says to Timothy, who's young, I need you to know, what is the foundation? What's the one thing that you could bank on? It's that all Scripture is inspired by God and is useful. And so when he says all Scripture is inspired by God, he's talking about everything from Malachi back for the most part because they didn't have the New Testament at that point. And we use this to help understand that all Scripture, including the New Testament, this is God-breathed. That this is from God. Now, how did he write this down? Did he go all Moses style and start writing on rocks for people? No, that's not what this is. We believe in the inspiration of Scripture, which means we believe, and I believe, that God inspired very unique, different men from all walks of life to write down what we needed to know. That they were inspired by the Holy Spirit to write down these words. And what we need to kind of establish is that all Scripture is God-breathed. I say that we have to establish that because it's easy for us to pick and choose which parts we like and we don't. Right? There, if you've ever read the Bible, there are parts of this that are so difficult and uncomfortable. I wish it wasn't in here. I really do. I wish Jesus didn't tell me I had to constantly be a forgiving person because it'd be much easier not to forgive and to hold that grudge. I'm just being honest with you. I wish that wasn't in here. I know it needs to be. I wish it wasn't. There are things in the Bible that I wish were not here. But if all Scripture is God-breathed, I can't pick and choose. I have to believe it all, or I can't trust that any of it's true. And here's why that's important. If we decide to pick and choose, who's to say the story of Jesus isn't real? Who's to say that the very thing, the very action, the very life that I build my entire life around, and every word that he says that comes out of his mouth, I have to believe is true. And if I pick and choose, then that negates his whole story. There's no power in that. That's a brick with cracks all in it. I'm not building a house with that. I'm building a house with a brick that is firm. And you can argue with me against translations and all that stuff. That's fine. I get that there's translations. They're all different. But it's the Word of God. And when I approach this Word, I ask God, if this is from you, will you show me what I need to know? Show me what makes me better. And the best part about this is all Scripture is inspired by God, that he has inspired men to write this. And it's useful. Can I tell you that this is filled with some very, very useful practical advice for living, yeah, there's some things in here you're probably not going to apply to your life. If you jump into Leviticus, I don't know that the commandment not to boil a goat's in its mother's milk is really applicable for us today. You know, like, if it is, have a great Memorial Day barbecue. You know, enjoy that tonight and tomorrow. But, like, that doesn't really apply to my life. I get that. But that doesn't mean there's not other stuff in here. And I think so often we can sit and read things and say, yeah, well, all these genealogies, they don't make a difference to me. I get that. But that doesn't mean there's not other parts of this that aren't important. And Jesus highlights different parts in Scripture all the time. He elevates them. And I think we need to be paying attention to them. We need to pay attention. Because this is useful. It speaks truth into our lives. And check out what it says. What's the point of this? How does this make our life better? Well, it teaches us. It straightens us. And it prepares us in every good way. We don't get together on Sunday mornings to journey into Scripture because we have nothing better to do. We do this because we're commanded to teach this, because it's useful. I need to be taught more about the Bible. I seek out men and women in my life that know more about this to help me understand it better, because I need to learn this. It teaches me. I have learned more about life and how to handle every different situation in my life because of this. This helps me to be a better man. It really does. This helps me to be a better husband. When I'm a jerk, it reminds me, you need to ask for forgiveness. You need to apologize. That was not the way you treat your family. Maybe if I'm not the best boss, I have to ask for forgiveness from my staff, which happens regularly. This helps me be better. As a dad, I get to look at how God parents me. He corrects me, He disciplines me, and He loves me relentlessly. Am I doing that? This helps me and teaches me to be a better person, a better pastor, a better friend, a better neighbor. This is useful to us because it teaches us. But it also straightens us. I don't know about you, but when that wind blows and if I'm peeking out of my house, it blows me in different directions. Right? I start to move where the wind is blowing. And what I love about this is I have friends in my life who don't just say, Jimmy, you're being a jerk, get back in line. They say, Jim, listen, based on Scripture, I think it might be helpful if we aligned this way. Now, they're not coming like this, right? They're not taking a brick and being like, Jim, it would be helpful if... Thankful it didn't fly. they don't hit me with this. They correct me with this, right? Psalm 23 says, when David writes that his rod, God's rod and his staff, they comfort us. They don't beat us. They bring us back into line. This straightens me out. I need this to straighten me out, but it also prepares me for things that I don't know are coming yet in my life. You know, there are situations that I'm going to need to love better and love greater, forgive deeper, lead stronger, that I don't know are in my life yet. But by constantly being a part of listening to God through Scripture, I know it's useful because it prepares me for things and for situations that I don't even know are coming yet. This is inspired by God, and I believe 100% true. And it teaches us, it straightens us, and it prepares us for what's coming. You know, Paul writes to two different churches in two different countries on two different continents, but highlights the same exact truth. The Word of God is powerful. It is useful, and it is essential for us if we want to look like Jesus. And even Jesus himself had something to say about it before Paul ever mentioned it. And I'd like to close out with a story that Jesus tells. It's not the three little pigs. He tells it in Matthew chapter 7 after he gives an amazing sermon. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. And we're going to be reading a passage from The Message, which is a much looser translation. And the reason I'm doing that is because when I challenge you to go get your Bible and to read this week, pick a translation that you like to read. You should not feel like you have to chomp through Scripture and like labor through it. You can enjoy this book. It's really good. It says this in Matthew chapter 7. Jesus says, "The words I speak to you are not incidental additions to your life homeowner improvements to your standard of living. They are, what's that word? They are, nice and loud, they are, these are foundational words. Words to build a life on. If you work these words into your life, you are a smart carpenter who built his house on solid rock. Rain poured down, the river flooded, a tornado hit, but nothing moved that house. It was fixed on a rock. I want to tell you this morning, you can build a brick. As a church, our core value is we will be unashamedly biblical, and I will elevate Scripture at every opportunity I can get on a Sunday morning. And when we met as a preaching team this week, you know, for the people who are just gifted in teaching at our in our church, I want them to have the opportunity to preach. And so we talked about the fact that we will talk about topics and we'll talk about ideas, but they will always be based on where Scripture is. That doesn't make it easy. Believe me, because there are some stances that Scripture takes on things that are very difficult in our culture. But I promise as a church, we will not shy away from those things. We will not be ashamed of what the Bible has to say about them. We will work through them, and the Bible will never, ever, ever be used as a weapon to beat people with in this church. It is a gift from God to shape us and to mold us and to look like who Jesus Christ is, to love like Him, to forgive like Him, to be bold like Him, and we do not have to be ashamed of that, but it's really easy to be ashamed of something we don't know about. It's really easy to kind of shy away from the Bible because we're like, oh, I don't understand it. I get that feeling. I understand that. But as bluntly as I can say it to you this morning, I will. If you have chosen to pursue Jesus and you would call yourself a Christian, a Christ follower, and you don't read the Bible, you are not building with brick. I don't know any other way to say it. You may have great devotionals. That's awesome. It's stick. You may listen to great music. It's straw. If you don't have the Bible, you don't have brick. And as a church, we will be a brick church. Maybe that's prophetic and we'll have like a building soon. We will be a brick church. We will be a church that is so unashamedly about talking about what the Bible has to say about everything. And we will not shy away from the hard things. And I tell you this because the only answer that you will have to the world's winds that blow at you is God's truth. You can stand on this. You can bank on this. You can go back to the promises that God gives us, that He will not leave us, that He will not forsake us, that we could be filled with the Holy Spirit to do even more amazing things than He did. You can bank on this to know that you, no matter what you have done or no matter what I have done, we have been forgiven because we have a God who loves us and forgives us. I don't know about you, but I need those promises. I need them every day. I need to know that I don't have to be anxious in anything, but by everything, through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, that I can present my request to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, is going to guard my heart and my mind in Christ Jesus. I need to know that if I confess my sins, that He's faithful and that He's just and He's going to forgive me my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I need to know those things because I wrestle with them every single day. That's my rock. That's my foundation. That's my brick. And I'm not ashamed of that. And you don't have to be either. You don't have to be either. So my challenge to you this morning is, as a church, we will be unashamedly biblical. Where are you personally with this? How's your time in the Word? You don't have to be aggressive and start in Genesis and be like, I'm going to tackle the whole thing. There's a handful of you in our church who are doing that, and I see you on YouVersion, and I thank God for you often and prayed for you through Leviticus and Numbers. Can I just encourage you this week? Grab a translation you like. If you don't have a Bible and you like a paper one, we have a couple in the back. Just go grab one. I don't need to know. Just take a Bible. Just take them. We have them to give away. If you have it on your phone, it's a little brown app, and it's amazing. It's right there. You can't see that, but it's a little brown app that says Holy Bible on it. Download it. Find a message or find a plan that's 7 days this week and start today with 7 days of reading the Bible. I'm not asking you to read for a half hour. I'm not asking you to sit and be like, look how spiritual I am. I'm just asking you to read it a little bit. Start with a little bit. Get a tiny brick. Start with something small. Go into the Psalms and read it. Or pick, you know, go through the plans that they have. Pick one that's 7 days that matches where you are in life right now. They've got plans for everything. Just find it for 7 days. And say, this week, I will read the Bible for 7 days, even if it's for just a couple minutes. Start with asking God, will you speak to me? Read it. And then ask God, will you make this a brick in my life today? That's your time. I guarantee you. Your week will be different. I guarantee it. Because the Bible will never return void. It's always a solid foundation for us to live on. And when you have it hidden in your heart, it's always with you. You'd have nothing to be ashamed of. Will you pray with me? God, I'm thankful. I am so thankful for your word. I'm thankful that it is a brick. And I feel like every verse that I get to, every passage that I journey through is another brick that you're building in a house for me that I can stand on. And more often than not, God, I feel like I'm running into it to hide in there because I am so toasted with all the things going on and I just need to rest. And you tell me that I can rest in you. You tell me that there's green pastures that I can lie in when everything around me feels crazy, that you're there with me. You tell me that when I feel pressed in from every side, that you're a shield about me, that you are a fortress that I can run to, and I'm secure there. God, I pray for us as a church. I dream about being a place. I dream. About being a place where people would be so in love with the Bible and it would be used as a life raft for people rather than a weapon against them. That it would be used to extend grace and love and it would convict us to look more like you and it would not be used to convict others, but your Holy Spirit would do his work. God, will you put a passion in our hearts today to be men and women of the Word? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.